ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 भीष्मास पासिंग अवे टेक्स्ट 46 तस्य निर्हरणादिनि संपरिस्तस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितः अभवत्। तस्य निरहराणादिनि संप्रेतस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितोऽभवत्। तस्य निरहरणादिनि संप्रेतस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितोऽभवत्। तस्य निरहणादिनि संपरेतस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितोऽभवत्। तस्य निर्हणादिनि संपरेतस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितोऽभवत्। तस्य निर्हणादिनि संपरेतस्य भार्गव not required. मुहूर्तं दुःखितो भवत्। Matajis. Samparetasya Bhargava Yudhishthiraha Karayitva Muhurtam Dukhito Bhavat तस्य निर्हणादिनि संपरेतस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितोऽभवत्। तस्य हिज निर्हणादिनि फ्यूनरल सेरेमनी Samparitasya of the dead body Bhargava, O descendant of Bhrigu Yudhishthiraha, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Kareitva, having performed it Muhurtam for a moment, dukhitah, sorry, abhavat, became. Translator and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O descendant of Bhrugu, Sonaka, after performing funeral rituals for the dead body of Bhishmadev, Maharaj Yudhishthir was momentarily overtaken with grief. Purport. Bhishmadev was not only a great family head of Maharaj Yudhishthira, but also he was a great philosopher and a friend of him, his brothers and his mother. Since Maharaj Pandu, the father of the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhishthir, died, Bhishmadev was the most affectionate grandfather of the Pandavas and caretaker of the widow daughter-in-law Kuntidev. Although Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the elder uncle of Maharaj, although Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the elder uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthir, was there to look after them, his affection was more on the side of his 100 sons, headed by Duryodhana. Ultimately, a colossal clique was fabricated to deprive the five fatherless brothers of the rightful claim of the kingdom of Hastinapura. There was great intrigue common in imperial palaces, and the five brothers were exiled into the wilderness. But Bhishmadev was always a sincerely sympathetic well-wisher, grandfather, friend and philosopher to Maharaj Yudhishthira, even up to the last moment of his life. He died very happily by seeing Maharaj Yudhishthira to the throne. Otherwise, he would have long ago quitted his material body instead of suffering agony over the undue sufferings of the Pandavas. He was simply awaiting for the opportune moment because he was sure and certain that the sons of Pandu would come out victorious in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as his lordship Sri Krishna was their protector. As a devotee of the Lord, he knew that the Lord's devotees cannot be vanquished at any rate. Maharaj Yudhishthir was quite aware of all these good wishes of Bhishmadev, and therefore he must have been feeling the great separation. He was sorry for the separation of a great soul and not for the material body which Bhishmadev relinquished. The funeral ceremony was a necessary duty, although Bhishmadev was a liberated soul. Since Bhishmadev was without issue the eldest grandson, namely Maharaj Yudhishthir, was the rightful person to perform this ceremony. It was a great boon to Bhishmadev that an equally great son of the family undertook the last rites of a great man. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvhyascha
కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
హరే కృష్ణ. I'm seeking blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, especially Maharaj and all Srila Prabhupada disciples. I'm feeling very much humble and quite awed, you know, to be here amongst all of you. I just arrived yesterday. And when I came here, I felt the climate was exactly like Vrindavan, you know, little chill, little hot. And Kartik in Vrindavan is like similar to this climate. And when I came inside, I saw Dwarkadhish, Rukmini. I was thinking whether it is Vrindavan or Dwarka. And I said Jagannath Puri. Then the morning kirtan was so lively, I was thinking it is Mayapur. You know, so kind of all kind of flavors I'm getting here, and it's wonderful. And I'm also very thankful for giving me this opportunity to speak, although not so qualified. This chapter is one of the most loved chapter by the devotees. Bhishma's passing away. He's a great Mahajan, and his life is so strange. I mean, so different situation he has passed through while maintaining his Krishna consciousness. That is Bhishma Dev. And here Krishna is fulfilling all his desires that is pursued all his life, but he never saw it. But finally he saw it. And then he left. So when Krishna is going to fulfill our desires, it's very, very strange. You know, when things are going to happen, when things are going to fall in place, fall in line, is very difficult to figure out on our part. But in this example, Bhishma Dev, Mahajan, he showed that how his loyalty, his devotion, his everything was dedicated all his life to Krishna, despite all different adverse situations, environment and people, disagreements, and finally war. But he kept Krishna all the time. And at the end, it's very strange. The war is over, but he didn't die. He was lying in that bed of arrows, waiting. And finally, when everything happened, Krishna, now we know the story, that he actually puts the Pandavas in the attire of kings, with all kind of royal, you know, insignia, they're wearing everything. And Krishna very happily brought them in front of Bhishma. What a sight it must have been, you know. He's lying in bed of arrow in a battlefield. There's so many dead bodies here and there. The wind is blowing, it's cold winter. And here comes the Pandavas. With Krishna himself. And in that bed of arrow, he was convincing Yudhishthira to become the king, the last thing that was to be done. Because after all the war, Bhishma was telling, I'm not going to be the king because so many people died. And the cause, like everyone thinks like that, pure devotees, that the symptoms, that's the way they are. Even Lord Ram, it is said, after the Ravana was killed, he thought that he has killed a Brahmana, so he has to do, you know, prayaschitta. What is the English of prayaschitta? Atonement. Atonement. So Lord Ram, he went to place in Rishikesh called Deprayag. There is an ancient Ram temple there. The Bhagirathi and Alkananda, they meet, and from that point the river takes the name Ganga. That's Prayag is there, that two rivers are meeting point. There he performed severe tapasya in the mountains. Below the mountain in Rishikesh, Lakshman performed tapasya. But then Bharat and Shatrughna also joined. They also did tapasya. They didn't do anything. They didn't kill Ravana, but they felt they were connected indirectly to the whole affair, the war that happened. So they also performed tapasya. Prahlad Maharaj, after Hiranyakashipu was killed, he performed tapasya in a mountain called, it's in South India, Melkote. It's a place where he sits and performs tapasya. Narsingdev appears to him there. There is a deity of Narsingdev who's like self-manifested, Swayambhu. Beautiful deity of Narsingdev, very merciful. Now, Yudhishthira is feeling that the entire war is because of his desire to have some land to rule. Everybody was trying to explain that it's not his fault. But he would not be convinced. Even Krishna failed. When Krishna fails, because he wants to fail, therefore he fails. So, we can't say Krishna really fails. In that way, he succeeds. He succeeds. Anyway, so Krishna brings all these Pandavas and Yudhishthira Maharaj. He is affectionate grandfather. It is so nicely explained by Prabhupada. That he was affectionate grandfather, caretaker for Kunti, and also a friend, philosopher, so many things. Because in our life, we need all of these aspects, you know, to be in a relationship. We need all these things. We need affection. We need good food, right? But along with good food to live, to survive, we need a lot of affection. Therefore, it is explained that when mother cooks for children, because a lot of affection is there, even if the food is healthy, which is not so tasty, the child eats it with affection. So we need affection for the mind, we need right food for the body, and we need a lot of intellectual activity, right? Philosophical dialogues for our, that's the food for our intelligence. The intelligence not fed sufficient philosophical input, then the intelligence will dry off. Then it will not be able to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. And there will be a lot of problems. So Bhishma Pitama, he was taking care of Pandavas in all his different aspects. He would give his affection, give his care. Care means for the body, basically. And he would also give them a lot of hope and courage by giving philosophical inputs. Another thing that we need as a food for our life is appreciation. Like our ego requires some appreciation. That is food for the ego, some appreciation. If those inputs go to a person, then person thrives, they grow. They can contribute better. Just like without food, we cannot serve properly. We need strength. Similarly, with affection, with philosophical backup, and with appreciation, one person can do a lot of service. So therefore, Bhishma Pitamaha, he was taking care in all these different aspects. Because when one person loses father and loses the kingdom, they are abandoned to the forest. It's not just the father, they lose everything. They lose their uncle, auntie, and everybody, you know, friends, their nephews, niece, everybody, they lose everyone. They're just in the forest. Nobody's there. those days there was no email, nothing, these modern communication was also not there. Forest means forest, totally aloof, they lose everything. And in that situation, Bhishma was always thinking about them and praying. Krishna was always there with them. So like that, they sustained all these difficulties because of various people like Bhishma who took care of them. And finally, when they became king, which Bhishma was hankering to see, he was lying there, and here Yudhishthira is saying, I'm not going to be the king. After everything happened, all this had invested so that he can become the king. He's saying, I'm not going to be the king. So as a last effort, Bhishma is telling so many good advices so that Yudhishthira resumes the power as king, and he accepts that. And that is, once that is done, he became relieved from all his anxieties for the kingdom, for the people, and for Pandavas themselves. Then he totally focuses his mind on Krishna. And a lot of gratitude, he focuses on Krishna completely and rises above the dualities. And then he Prabhupada says, he enters in Krishna's home. And the translation says, emerges into him, enters into Krishna. But Prabhupada says, entering Krishna means entering his home. I like that statement very much. So, in this way, here Bhishma is shown by his example that how if we somehow or other continue our Krishna consciousness, Krishna will surely reward us. But how is he going to reward us? It's a big, complex matter. You know, we can't figure it out. That's the charm. If everything is known, then there is no charm in life. You know? If everything is known already, it's, if you know the movies, how it's going to end, then there is no charm in the watching the movie. Sometimes some friends of ours, they would watch a movie, they'll come and tell us, you know, there's a nice movie, there's the storyline, and as they come to the end, we say, no, don't speak it now. We want to see it ourselves, what it is. That's the experience. And that's true. That's how Krishna is. And that's what makes him so nice. So, this is the pastime that's happening here. And Bhishma passes away. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj performs his last rite. This is also very, very, very exemplary. That we are essentially our spirit soul. We are not the body. So this is very nicely explained here in few lines by Prabhupada. That he was feeling sorry to have missed the association of Bhishma. This was fantastic association. So he was very much feeling aggrieved. But he let the body burn. The body for which our entire life is centered around this body, it just vanishes basically. So they perform the rites, they burn the body, which merges into the five elements, earth, water, air, fire, ether, it just merges back to the nature. So showing that our relationship with the person continues, but the body, which is temporary anyway, it has to be written back to the nature. And Bhishma, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he performed that last rite. He burned that body of Bhishma, which was so powerful, such a great personality. Many times in our practice of Krishna consciousness, we wonder, because this conception of body is so strong in us, that whether actually are we really soul or not, you know, this kind of confusion or this kind of feelings is not unusual. Because we have been living in the body for such a long, long time. I mean, this body for some years, but then this conception of material life, you know, like the child taking conception in the womb of a mother, we are in the womb of mother nature since time immemorial. And because of that long-standing association, it is very difficult to feel being separate from the body. It's very difficult. But Lord Krishna, he explains in Bhagavad Gita very nicely that how we are not this body but spirit soul. And the whole chapter, second chapter and onwards also, this point comes back again and again that how we are spirit soul. Especially chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, he explains it so vividly. And one thing that really makes us feel strongly about this fact that we are spirit soul is our experience in this world. Is that how everything around us in this creation is temporary. There is nothing which is permanent. Anything we take. Even sun and moon, they are going to die one day. We know it all. Nothing is permanent. The city changes, the river dries up, even the ocean dries up, the mountain crashes. So everything changes, everything is temporary. Then what is the concept of permanent comes from? If we all are temporary, and everything surrounding us is temporary, then the word permanent would not exist at all. But the fact is, we always urge for permanent things. We want a permanent home, permanent temple, permanent relationship. Because the change is always creates fear. The change creates fear. Changing home, changing job, maybe for a higher perspective, but still, it creates a kind of anxiety and fear. Because we don't want change. We are eternals. That is our very intrinsic nature. We are eternal beings, spirit, soul, and our desire and our whole goal is basically having a permanent situation. But because we are trapped in a very temporary situation, it is so tough. So tough to become happy. So this fact Lord Krishna is bringing out, Dehinosminyathadehe, in all these verses, that how a permanent being is trapped in a temporary situation. And we cannot be happy with temporary things because we are permanent. We are eternal. So because this feeling is so strong in our Vedic culture, Sanatana Dharma, which Srila Prabhupada so nicely, you know, spread all over the world. So, because this fact is so strongly rooted, therefore the culture, the activities, everything becomes so meaningful to practice, to carry on. Right? This is how the whole culture, whole philosophy, whole practice is so strongly rooted. That therefore, we are so fortunate, Srila Prabhupada, because he brought out this philosophy and the practice, the culture, everything. Prabhupada gave everything so that we can continue doing these things. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj is performing the last rite, although he was a liberated soul. Prabhupada is writing, although he's a liberated soul not required. People who take sannyas, for example, they go to the north, they go to the Himalayas, what happens to their bodies, nobody knows. Right? Once they leave the world of duality, they just meditate, they do their tapasya, and their body, nobody knows what happens. So liberated souls, body need not be done any. Yeah, but for example to the people of the world, you know, because otherwise people may take it a wrong example. So this Maharaj, he performs the rites. It is said that we for setting example for the common men to follow, because otherwise the people who are not liberated, if their body is not cremated properly, the soul will face a lot of difficulties in its journey. So therefore this has to be done. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing it. I will end one small story, then I'll end it. One example on pastime of Jagannath, I'll speak. How he also does a similar activity. In Jagannath Puri, when Jagannath was actually installed in the time of King Indradumna, he said that celebration was very grand, very nice. And Jagannath became very happy with Indradumna, King Indradumna. And he offered many boons. He said, please ask benedictions to Indradumna. So usually after the deity worship procedure, we do all the 16 upacharas and serve the deities nicely. And in the end, it is said, one of the things that one you can do is ask benediction to the Lord. Ask blessings. Offer prayers. And then at the end of the whole, normally when you come to Krishna, we start asking our offer prayers and asking our whatever we want instantly. That's not the right way. The right way is to first offer, appreciate, do all kind of services, then ask in the end. So here he's asking, but Indradumna Maharaj, he's a pure devotee, so he was not really inclined for any personal benefit. So he says that we want to offer you a lot of bhoga. So after every offering, when your hands we wash with water, achman, and before the hand dries off, we want to offer another offering, another bhoga. You should eat it. So Jagannath, he says, ask some benediction. He's asking these benedictions. He says, okay, but that's not for me. That's not for you. That's for me. You ask something for yourself. Then he says, your darshan is so beautiful. So amazing darshan, so beautiful eyes, nice smile. Your darshan should not end in a day, but you need some rest. So 2-3 hours apart from that, your darshan should be available to public. So Jagannath says, okay. But then again, it is not for you, it is for others. First you benefited me, now you're benefiting others. What about you? Ask something for yourself. Then he says, I don't want any children. Fulfill this desire. So Jagannath becomes very upset. He says, this is not a benediction, this is a curse. And he said, but that's my desire. You said, you want to fulfill my desire. He said, what kind of desire is this? He said, I don't want anybody to tell that this temple is our temple. This is your temple. So generations comes, they may claim this is our temple, our temple, our temple, like that. So I don't want any progeny so that nobody claims this temple is yours, belongs to your servants. So Jagannath then turned to the queen, Gundicha, wife of Indradumna Maharaj, and asked, you ask something, tells her, because he thinks this person is dangerous. If you ask anything more, I don't know what he will say again. So turns to queen. She says, I want a son. So Jagannath immediately says, let it be. Tathastu. Then she starts crying. He says, how can I have a child when my husband doesn't want? Then Jagannath says, don't cry. Because I will be your son, he says. Now why Gundicha wants a son is not because of a selfish desire to have a, But she feels that, like Arjuna also speaks about Shraddha ceremony in the first chapter, and here we see Bhishma, Yudhishthira is doing. So so many people in generation behind. See, it's not just our parents because of whom we have this body. Of course, we have to be grateful to our parents, because without this body, without our intelligence, we can't do anything. We can't serve anybody or any. We can't serve Krishna also. It's because of them that we have this. So it's not because of them, because it's because of many, many parents on the whole line. They are all responsible for what we have right now. And if somebody somewhere is facing some difficulty, then it's our responsibility to help them. So that's the concern of Gundicha. So Jagannath, he says, you don't worry, I will be your son and I will perform all the rites, all the ceremonies. Every year in Jagannath Puri, Jagannath has Radha Madan Mohan or Govindji. He goes out to Sweta Ganga. There is a Ganga in Jagannath Puri. And he performs the Sraddha ceremony. Now if Jagannath performs the Sraddha ceremony, who will stay in that line? Everybody is liberated. Right? On the other hand, we can see that if we take to Krishna consciousness very seriously, with utmost devotion, then Krishna takes care of everyone in our family line. Not only everyone, but anybody connected, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even the dog in the village of Srivas Thakur. You know, I'm very, very friendly to them. I love them. And they're all liberated. Now what to speak of family members? There is no doubt about it. But the point is, on the other hand, for an example to the society, the devotees perform all these activities so that nobody deviates from the path of, nobody neglects the tradition of Vedic culture. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. And are there any comments, Maharaj? Thank you all for a nice, I've got a nice reception, warm reception here, nice facility to stay. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.